Welcome. You're listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials of items read on AIRS LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Today's articles are from the June-July edition, 2026. Camp Bluegrass by Sid Evans. 5 days of music, mountains, and community in Western North Carolina. I was standing on stage behind Ricky Skaggs, the legendary bluegrass musician, before a crowd of more than 1,500 people at the Whittington Foal Auditorium in Brevard, North Carolina. It was a Saturday night in late May, and we were playing the finale, Skaggs' version of the classic song Uncle Pen by Bill Monroe. Lined up in the rows next to me stood about 130 other students holding acoustic guitars, each of us waiting on the song's refrain to come in with an emphatic lick called a G-run. There was plenty of nervous energy in our group. But when the chorus came around, we hit the notes in unison, and Skaggs looked back at us with a smile. He was putting on a show that night with some of the best bluegrass musicians in the world. And for the moment, we were part of the band. Our performance was the culmination of Blue Ridge Guitar Camp, an intensive program at Brevard Music Center, a wooded 180-acre campus in western North Carolina, with stages, rehearsal spaces, cabins, and plenty of room for jam sessions. As a mediocre player with little experience in traditional bluegrass, I was way out of my league. The host of the camp, Brian Sutton, is the most awarded flat picker in the history of the genre, and he assembled a star-studded roster of instructors. My fellow students, who ranged in age from mid-teens to mid-70s and came from a dozen different countries, were pretty intimidating, too, showing a master of their instruments and a deep knowledge of old-time songs. But from the minute I arrived, I felt encouraged to jump in. "This is a safe place," Sutton said on our first night. "This is a community where we know where everybody's doing the same thing, whether you're a relative newbie or an experienced player. We are all continuing to learn, and that's the energy I like to bring here." The Brevard Music Center has hosted classical music summer programs here since the 1940s, but the idea to expand to banjo, guitar, and fiddle camps is relatively new. The spark came from Woody Platt, a singer and songwriter who grew up in the area and went on to found the Grammy Award-winning Steep Canyon Rangers. When Platt realized the center wasn't being used for weeks during the shoulder seasons, he reached out to Bella Fleck, one of the greatest banjo players on the planet. Fleck had never put his name on a camp before, but he was intrigued by the pitch and loved the region with its deep history of fiddlers, pickers, and players. Platt got Blue Ridge Banjo Camp, led by Fleck, off the ground in 2018. And the following year, he reached out to Sutton about starting a guitar version. After a few conversations and a golf cart ride around the campus, he was sold. "I loved the idea of coming back here. Kind of home, if you will," Sutton told me. "I knew how beautiful it was and the majesty of this whole place. So there were so many boxes checked." A family tradition. Sutton grew up in a musical family in Candler, North Carolina, just west of Asheville. My grandfather was part of the scene, so we had a little band, my dad, my grandfather, my sister, and some other friends of ours. He told me one afternoon between classes, the music was just a constant conversation that never really stopped. By the time he was in his early 20s, he was touring with Ricky Skaggs in Kentucky Thunder and earning a reputation for being one of the best flat pickers in bluegrass. His father, Jerry, has pitched in as a jam facilitator since the first session in 2022. In the evenings, he hosts something called the Slow Jam, which is meant for less experienced players who can get a little intimidated, like me. On several nights after the day's activities had wrapped up, I found my way to a group of about 15 folks sitting in a circle around him with guitars in their laps. If anyone had an idea, he would encourage it. But otherwise, he'd start into a simple fiddle tune like Red-Haired Boy or Whiskey Before Breakfast, patiently telling us the chords. One night, he shared his son's philosophy about learning. A person who wants to improve should be a reflective person who allows himself to be vulnerable to mistakes, he says. Passing it on. After a few days of lessons, practice, and watching inspiring performances, I started gaining a little confidence. I can't say I was getting better, but I felt more comfortable singing a verse or playing a solo, even a bad one. I was also learning an appreciation for how this music had been passed down for generations. Instead of looking at our phones, we were gathered together in the heart of Appalachia, sharing chords and lyrics that were written 100 years ago. When I asked Sutton about what this gathering means for the future of bluegrass, he was optimistic. He partly attributes a recent spike in applications to a 2024 appearance at the camp by guitar sensation Billy Strings. I think one of the things that sustains bluegrass is that the fans are the players, and the players are the fans, Sutton told me. I'm as much of a fan of this music as any person that comes to a show of mine. Platt agrees. After more than 2 decades on the road with Steep Canyon Rangers, he's now seeing his hometown become ground zero for some of the best musicians in the world. They're also offering scholarships to talented players who wouldn't otherwise have a chance to attend. I love this. It's great for my soul, he told me during a break in the action. But it's also shockingly rewarding to watch these people come together with this much enthusiasm for the music and know they're getting something out of it. I certainly did. Getting to Guitar Camp. For players, Blue Ridge Guitar Camp, hosted by Brian Sutton, is designed for intermediate to advanced guitar players. To apply for next year's session, go to BlueRidgeGuitarCamp.com, where you'll fill out a form and submit a video as an audition. This year's camp will run from May 27th to May 31st. For fans, the NC Guitar Celebration Concert, held on the last night of Blue Ridge Guitar Camp, will be held on May 30th, 2026, at the Whittington Fall Auditorium. Expect to hear Sutton, some of the talented students, and a variety of very special guests. Hot Dog City, USA by John Archibald. The story behind Birmingham's most iconic food and the locals carrying on the legacy. You'll be forgiven if you don't know the Birmingham hot dog, or that it is even a thing. It's not as gaudy as the Chicago one, not as ubiquitous as its Coney Island cousin, just a savory secret sauce, an unremarkable wiener, and all the history of its hometown slathered atop a bun. Birmingham was born about the same time as the American hot dog. The city was founded in 1871. When people flooded in to work, new quarries, mines, and forges. That same year, in New York City, a German immigrant named Charles Feltman opened a stand selling wieners on soft rolls at Coney Island. He may not have invented the hot dog, but he did inspire a nationwide culinary epiphany. Laborers hungry for work and affordable food poured into Birmingham in the years that followed. Immigrants, many of them Greek, sold fruit and other wares to foundry workers and miners from stands and carts. When the hot dog landed, it took on a life of its own. Soon, Birmingham's new version was born, with Coney Island ancestry and a Southern Greek twist. In 1919, Tom Candelas opened Tom's Coney's, probably the first brick-and-mortar location in an 8-by-15-foot sliver of space downtown. Later, Pete's Famous Hot Dogs welcomed customers just a block away in a 7-by-20-foot cigarette box. These places required little room or capital, and soon the city was full of them. Back in the day, there was one on almost every block downtown. Sometimes three, explains Andrew Collins, who spent four decades slinging weenies at Lyric Hot Dogs before taking on a second career as the owner of the trendy Collins Bar and K.O. Coco Rum Bar and Restaurant. The Birmingham Post examined the Greek influence in 1926, finding too many Georges and Johns and Nicks, all Greek immigrants, to keep it straight. It listed George's, as well as George's Place, George's Lunchroom, and George's Seafood Cafe, plus John's Barbecue, John's Joint, and Johnny's Barbecue. There were two Nick's places, a Nick's Barbecue and a Nick's Cafe. Of course, there are other restaurants which Greeks do not own or operate, but they are few and far between. The Birmingham Post wrote, "Practically all of the hot dog places scattered over the city are owned by Greeks." The term hot dog was put in quotes back then, ostensibly to avoid confusion. Most of the old joints are gone now, replaced by parking lots, changes in appetites, and progress, or because those who toil behind the counters found the success they sought and sent their children to college and other career pursuits. Pete's Famous closed in 2011 after Gus owner Gus Kototoulakis died. But Gus's, a longtime Pete's competitor, still carries the torch downtown. Lee Pantazis bought Gus's in 2017 to keep the tradition alive. But most of the customers know that Carl Lee, L.A. Alexander, runs it day to day, the way he learned from the original Greek owners. Collins, the son of a Greek immigrant, still sells the Birmingham dog at the Collins Bar after 6 p.m. But what is a Birmingham dog, really? To me, it's just a regular weenie with mustard, onions, sauerkraut, and our special sauce, says Collins. But what makes it seem like just a hot dog? What defines the Birmingham version, called a special dog on most menus, is that the secret meat sauce, topped with yet another super secret red sauce, guarded like the treasure it is. George Cyrus, the Greek immigrant owner of the Fish Market restaurant who got his start with a hot dog joint, talks colorfully of the sauce, but pretends to forget his English when asked about the recipe. Collins won't spill. Neither will Pantasis. It's a sacred trust, handed down as if by silent order of monks, Pantasis says. But make no mistake, the Birmingham dog is more than its biggest secret. It's not about the hot dog, he says, of maintaining the legacy. It's an old truck you should have sold years ago, but keep putting money and effort into it because you rode in it with your dad and you rode in it with your grandpa. That's the magic of the Birmingham dog. And maybe the real recipe? Simplicity. Respect for those who came before, who worked hard to make a better life for their families, and in the process, made their town a more flavorful place to live. We have come to the end of our program. I'm Joyce Davis, and I will be back soon.